It's 12 o'clock. I'm usually done soon. Give me some time, please, because this is going to bless you. This is just going to bless us. Come on, turn with me to two places, please. Hosea 10. Go alphabetically. You'll find H in your Bibles. If you do that, you'll be lost completely and totally. Don't do that. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. It's in the middle of that. All right? And then turn to Jeremiah, please. Come on, I just want to just share my heart this morning and just share from a place of even bouncing off of last week. You come to that place where we were at Seek on Sunday night. Number one, it was just an incredible presence of God. And we just, honestly, you could even tangibly feel and just this release of faith. Hard to define, but when you come to that place to know that faith is for that which is unseen. Faith is not which we see, it's not visible, it's that which is the unknown. I don't have to believe for a wife. Got one. Don't want two. Got one, and she's amazing. And I don't have to believe faith for my wife now, because you understand this, because Seek was just one of those releases of faith for 2018 of what we believe God is going to do in our life as husband and wife, in our kids' life, Carter, Olivia, and Ethan, and our dog's life, Oliver. Pray for your animals. He, the righteous man, takes care of the life of his animals, Proverbs 17. And you come to this place to understand what it is that there is just this release at Seek of faith from husbands and wives and teenagers and young adults. Listen, teenagers, guess what? You're part of the church. We love teenagers in this church. We love young people in this church. We love the young adults in this church. We actually cater so much to the children's ministry. We cater so much to the youth ministry that absolutely love the generation that God has given us. And God has an absolute plan and purpose. And when you show up at Seek and you see this group of teenagers, you're saying, God, this year is yours. There is a release of faith in that. And you see a husband and wife laid out on the floor at Seek going, God, whatever it is this year, it's yours. This marriage, yours. Our kids, yours. Our finances, yours. Our direction, yours. What happens when you really come to that place to just seek the Lord? I believe this year's Seeks are going to be, honestly, life-changing to you personally and to the direction of this church. Because there's a release that's taking place when you honestly come to a place to just seek the Lord. And just say, I just want to pursue you. I just want to come after you. I just want to go after. That's what seek means. It means to pursue or chase down or to chase after. And we are called to seek the Lord. That's what we're called to do. And I love this, Hosea 10. Let's just pray. God, bless this message. Please, that we would hear from you today. It's been such a great day. We walk out different when we've come in this place. In Jesus' name, church, you would say, God, speak to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hosea 10, 12 says this, sow with a view to righteousness. And I caught this at Seek. And we brought this out just for a minute at Seek, or last week, and just... It just, this week, it just resonated in my spirit and I couldn't get rid of it. And it says this, sow with a view to righteousness and reap in accordance to kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. I love that. For it is time. Everybody say, for it is time. Come on, say it like you mean it, please. What happens when that just sinks in, when you go by moment, and you live life one moment at a time, and you understand that the Bible says life is but a moment. Your whole life, man. Birth to death is like a breath. Birth to death is like a vapor. Birth to death is like a shadow. These are all words that the Bible uses for our whole life. But what happens when you break that short, brief breath into shorter little tiny breaths, and they are just these little smidges of moments of life? Then what happens if you lived moment by moment to say, it is time to seek the Lord. God, in this moment, it is time now here to seek you. No matter what moment we're in, no matter where we're at in our journey of life, whether you are a teenager, whether you're a young adult, whether you're a college student, whether you are single, whether you're married, whether you're parenting, wherever you're at in life, it's just shots of moments of life that you would come to a place. But in every moment, it is still time to seek the Lord. And you come to this place. And Hosea is an amazing, amazing prophetic book. It's an amazing book by a prophet, Hosea, spoken God through him in a sense of even Hosea 1, 2, and 3 talks about God coming back to his people in such an incredible love relationship that Hosea had with Gomer, a prostitute, whole amazing story. Hosea 3, you don't have time to get into it, but it is about the rise and the fall, coming back to God, falling away, coming back to God. It's an incredible book. What happens when you come to the place when it just resonates in your heart? It is time. It is time to seek the Lord. It is time to pursue Him. It is time to chase after Him. Sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance to kindness, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until He comes to rain righteousness on you. I just want to take a minute, just unfold this whole verse, man. When it talks about sowing, we talked about briefly last week, sowing and reaping. You know, we talked about the week before that, just turn the page and move on to 2018. And the next one was, just, well, what did you expect? If you sow good, you should expect good. If you sow stupid, you should expect stupid. Like, that's just, what would you expect? Because that's what you gave, that's what you're going to get. It's a completely biblical theme. It's beautiful. And then you come to a place right here that we land in Hosea 10, 12, and it says this, sow to a view of righteousness. And the word righteousness, it's just simple, man. It means justice, or to be right with God, or to walk in accordance to what God says is right. That's what righteousness means. It's the sense of honesty. It's the sense of justice. It's the sense to say it's not. It doesn't matter to me what worldview is. I'm not a big fan of political view. I'm not a big fan of education view when it's anti-God, when they're teaching things that are absolutely against the scripture. Not a fan, because I come to a place, say, listen, I want my view to be one of righteousness. I want to care with everything in me what God says is right and not man's idea. And when you can honestly buy into that and you come to this place, say, listen, I've come to know you. I want to follow you. I want to surrender to you. I want to love you. But man, I want to walk in a way. I want to sow into a way that my view becomes to your righteousness. And I begin to put blinders on in regards to anything that is opposite of your truth. And what happens when you come to that place to say, I want to sow into that? I love Proverbs 11. I just want to read this to you. We're going to flip right back to that. I just want to read it. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to get there in just a minute. And I want you to see this. Proverbs 11 says this. Because it talks about being a steadfast in righteousness. But he who sows to righteousness gets a true reward. Again, sowing and reaping. When you sow into righteousness, that which God says is right, you're going to have to put up a fight to that, you know. You're going to have to dig your heels in and say, nope, this is what God said. I'm going to bank on this. Nope, this is what God said. I'm going to trust in this. Nope, you know, I don't really see it that way. I don't really see your view. This is what God said. It's actually opposite of what God said, because this is the way God put it in this way. And therefore, I'm going to stick my heels in the ground. I'm going to be strong in this, because in that there's a true reward. And then I love this. Here it is. It says this. For he who is steadfast in righteousness will attain to life. He who is steadfast, he who is immovable, he who is unshakable, he who puts his heels on the ground and say, I am not going to budge in this, because I see it in God's word. I completely belong to him. I've surrendered to him. I'm a follower of him, which means I'm obedient to his word. That's the way I see it. God says that this is the right way. I'm going to walk in this. God says that this is justice, and this is where I'm going to roll with this thing, and I'm going to be steadfast in my righteousness. Watch this. What is the fruit of that? That you will attain to life. There's one thing in my heart this year, even for Renee and I, and for my family, my kids, we come to this place, even in this church, this is what I want for 2018, that we would understand that there is life here and now, and there is life abundantly. Jesus said, I came to give you life and life abundantly. That's not for the eternal forever. That's the here and now. I love it that when we get into right perspective that Jesus came, he came to give us joy. He came to give us peace. He came to give us life here and now, and to live life that is abundantly. And you come to this place, the thing that I am really asking, God, I want to overflow with joy. I want this church to overflow with laughter and with smiles and understand. Not fake. Nothing that is side fake. Crazy stuff. I want real, true joy going through the ups and downs of life, going through difficult seasons, but yet there would be a bubbling up with inside, because the Spirit of our God lives within us, and in that there is true joy. Not just a circumstantial happiness, which is good. It's good to be happy. I love being happy. I'm a happy dude. I like that. But in a difficult season, that's when the joy really kicks in, and there is this overflowing abundance of joy because I get it, man. Jesus came to give me life and life abundantly here, and I'm walking in the fullness of his spirit, which is love, joy, and peace. And in that, I dig my heels in and say, God, I want to walk in a way to be steadfast in righteousness, because in that, I'm going to attain to life. And I want to overflow with joy. And I want to bubble over with joy. We come back to Hosea and it says this. Look at the second part of this. It says, we'll reap in accordance to kindness. So number one, you got to stand your ground on what God says is right. And number two, you come to this place to reap. I love this. Here it is. Reap in accordance to kindness. And the word kindness here is the depth of this meaning. It literally means loyalty. It means to be faithful. And yes, that does mean kind deeds and it means kind acts. It doesn't mean just being kind and nice, but there is a depth to this word kindness, and it means that there is a loyalty to this. There is a faithfulness in this, and I want to reap in accordance to being loyal. I love that. I'm sowing this, and because of my sowing, my reaping will be accordance to my faithfulness. Please hear this. This is huge. What I reap, it will be because of what I've sown, and if I'm reaping in accordance to, that means I'm reaping into what I have sown. I'm going to reap loyalty. I'm going to reap faithfulness. I'm going to reap kindness. Why? Because that's what I've sown. Can I ask you, are you a loyal person? Are you a faithful person? The Bible says this, gentlemen, please hear this. Proverbs 19:22, that what is desirable within a man is his kindness. That is man in man gender. That's what that means. What is desirable in a man is his kindness. That doesn't just simply mean be nice. That means that there is a quality to you that is a depth of loyalty. There is a depth of faithfulness to you. And listen, if you've got that godly woman and you are waiting and you are following hard after God and you are pursuing after God, you come to this place, the real godly woman is going to wait and be patient for a man that is desirable because of his loyalty and because of his faithfulness and because of his abs. That took you a minute. But man, get it. I don't know. Just get it. Get it to a sense where women will identify you according to how faithful you are and according to your loyalty. And when you have if you are desiring a godly woman who absolutely is fearing the Lord and she's the one to be praised, then you better have a quality of you that is loyal and faithful. And how about I look at even the people we have in our lives personally. I surround myself with people who are faithful. Faithful and loyal to my family. Faithful and loyal to my kids. Faithful, and it's serious, church. It means so much. Who in your life can you say you have been loyal and you have been faithful? Because I like it when you start out in accordance to righteousness, that doesn't mean perfect. That doesn't mean perfect. Righteous doesn't mean perfect. When you walk around people who think they're perfect, fill the tub, step in. Doesn't go well for you, perfect people. Doesn't say perfect, it says righteous. So when people know, listen, I don't expect you to be perfect, but even in the ups and downs, I am going to be faithful and I'm going to be loyal. I love this. I love this because that's the people this year. Please hear it. Surround yourself with faithful people. Surround yourself with loyal people. Surround yourself with that who is kindness, and that the depth of that is loyalty. Now look at this. Look at this. Here it is. Watch this. Break up your fallow ground. Now there's so much to this. Please give me a couple minutes. There's so much to this, what it means to break up. The word break up, guess what it means? It means to break up, smash, crash, destroy. This is a farming term to a field. There's two meanings to this. One meaning, which is where I believe it really fits here, is that it has been an unplowed field. No equipment has yet to touch this field. It is hard. It is rocky. It is thorns. There are weeds. It is a horrible field to try to plant. You cannot even try to plant anything in this field because it has never been plowed. It is hard. It is you can't sow anything into this field. Second meaning is where a fallow ground field, where it means to break that up, where it was once used. It was once seeded. It was once, and they allow it on purpose to go dormant so that things can die off and they can replant in that field so things would grow. Replant a different type of crop in that field. But for this meaning here, I believe biblical sense, it really means to a sense and it's talking about the matters of the heart. That means that your heart is just so hard. And I think even today that God is saying, would you please let me drop my plow? Would you please let me come in there and break up your hard heart? Church, we can reject God, we can reject God, we can reject God, we can reject God, and your heart gets another layer, 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 or somebody has turned you against the church, or someone has turned you against Christianity, or someone has turned you, and you're just getting a hard layer and a hard layer, and all of a sudden you find yourself here this morning in this place, right here and right now, and God is like, would you please let me drop my plow right here so I can just begin to break up that fallow ground. What happens when you say, God, I'm tired of this rejection and I'm tired of this hard heart. I've come to church and I can't get anything from church. I read the Bible, I just can't get anything. Nothing is sinking in. Nothing is happening here. I can't go anywhere. Nothing's taking place in my heart. Nothing's penetrating. Well, God is like, would you please break up that fallow ground? Would you please allow me to drop the plow and drag it across your heart so I can come to this place to break that up? So then your heart becomes a place where when seed is placed, then it will reap a harvest. But look at what's next right in front of you. Look at what's next. Thank you for bringing your Bibles, church. I love pages turning. I love what's happening. Break up your fallow ground. And it says this, for it is time. For it's time. That means that if I truly have a hard heart, then I, biblically speaking, can't really seek the Lord. Because first, please get the order here. First, the heart has to be broken up and that ground has to be able to receive seed. And you come to a place where we just reject God and we're just wondering why nothing's ever happening. And it's so difficult. Why is it so difficult at times to just really pursue and chase after God? Because I think at times our heart becomes so hard because, listen, it has to, please look at the order. Look at the order. First, break up that hard ground. And then it's time to seek the Lord. Then it's time to pursue. Then it's time to chase after. What's it look like to chase after God? What's it look like to pursue Him? Church, when you come to a place to really understand that you and I are called to seek Him. I want to read from Psalms 27, please. Psalms 27 says this. And I love this. This is David and he's speaking this. Psalm 27 verse 8, it says this. And he's talking to the Lord. When you, God, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. And I believe this for today. I believe that it is time to seek the Lord for you, for your marriage, for your husband, for your spouse, for your kids, for your household, for this church. I believe it's time to just put everything aside and say it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to put aside my agenda and it's time to pursue the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord because I love this. Here it is right here in verse 8. When God said, seek my face. And I believe it today. I believe God is saying, seek my face. It is time now. Come with that soft heart. Come with me allowing to till that ground, to break it up again. So then we begin to put deposits in you and there's seed that begins to grow. And I love this. God, when you said, seek my face, my heart said, what's your heart saying? What is it? Paul or David's heart said, listen, my heart said, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. So can I just ask you this morning, when you're in this place and you're going, listen, God, I believe that you're doing a work in my heart. I believe that it's beginning to get tilled. I believe that it's beginning to break up. And man, I want to come to that place where I want to seek you. It's time. The time is now to seek your face. And God is saying, listen, seek my face. Pursue me. Come after me. What's your heart say? For my heart said, because my heart has been softened. My heart said, oh Lord, your face I shall see. What's your heart say? God, I'm going to seek you. I'm going to lay aside my own agenda. I'm asking you to do a work in my heart. I'm asking you to till this ground. Please understand, it may hurt a little bit. Honestly, when you know God is doing a work in you, it may actually cause you to cut this thing out and cut that thing out. It may hurt a little bit. But God, it's worth it. It's worth it that in this moment, I'm saying, God, work on my heart. Make it soft so that I may seek you. God is saying, listen, seek my face. New Testament, the Bible says, Jesus said, listen, if you seek me, you shall find me. Church, he never plays hide and seek with us. He's not a faraway God. He's a God who draws near. He's not a God that says, hey, good luck. Seek me, you're never going to find me. That's not what the Bible says. Seek him, you shall find him. What happens when you come to that place? Like, God, I want to love you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength, with all of my mind, everything in me. I want to love you. God, I want to pursue you. God, I want to go after you. I want to lay it down this year and just go hard after you, God. Jesus, I'm in. And you come to that place, say, work on my heart today. Work on my heart tomorrow. Work on my heart the next day, moment after moment after moment. God, I will seek you. God says, listen, seek my face. For my heart said, God, I will seek your face. What's your heart saying today? That you come to this place. Say, my heart is to seek you moment by moment. I want to pursue you. I want to pursue you. And I got to touch on this. It's just in my heart. I just want to speak to the young adults in this place. I want to speak to the young adults in this place in a sense. Well, I'm just, and listen, if you've been to Breakaway at all, you know we don't water things down. We don't lessen. You are a young adult serving God. God has a plan for you. You have the ability to break away from the things of this world and absolutely, completely run after and have a purpose. In every age that you're in, there's a plan and there's a purpose. Don't wait for God's plan. Teenagers, do not wait for God's purpose. I need you to do this. We didn't even do this in the first service. You're going to have to bear with me. I really believe this is God. If you're 20 and under, I need you to stand to your feet, please. I don't care where you're at. If you're 20 and under, stand to your feet. Whew. I just believe this is of God. You got to wait. You got to hear this. Don't go into saying, God, what is your plan for my life? God has a plan for your life. Yes, he has a plan for when you're 20. He has a plan for when you're 25. He has a plan for when you're married. But he has a plan for you today. He has a plan for the moment that you have right now. He has a plan for you in your school. He has a plan for you in your college. He has a plan for you at your job right now in this moment. God has a plan for you. And can I just say this? As we tell these kids at Breakaway, you don't get a pass. Yes, we understand that there's maturity. We understand that you're 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Now, we understand that there's a growing process. We have all been there. We've all done that. We understand that I made as a teenager unbelievable dumb mistakes, but you grow out of them. You understand that. But you don't get a pass when it comes to the place to say, God, I don't want to have an excuse because I'm young. And I love this in Jeremiah. This absolutely removes that excuse. Young people, hear this. Please hear this. This is Jeremiah. This is the word of the Lord coming to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet, amazing prophet of God. And this is what God says to him in the very beginning of his call. He says this, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I love that because that is a passage over and over through scripture. Listen, before you were ever a seed, before you were ever formed, before mom and dad ever had a thought of you, before your mom and dad ever had a thought of their mom and dad, before there ever was a foundation in the world, get it, young people. God says, I know you. I formed you. I called you. I put you here now on the earth for a purpose and for a reason in the moment that you are in. Man, what happens, church, when we get this as the young people say, listen, God, you formed me. God, you know me. God, you put me in this position. God, I'm this age at this moment because you want me to be here right now. And when you buy into that, an absolute truth, to say, God, I get it. You formed me. You knew me before I was ever a seed. You had a plan for me today in this moment. What happens when you buy into that truth? And you come to this place. I love this. He's talking to Jeremiah, who was a youth. And before you were born, I consecrated you. And I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. And I said, here's what Jeremiah, this is his response. Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I'm a youth. How many times do you think, man, I'm less than because I'm just a teenager? I'm less than because I'm still just in college. I really haven't got into life yet. That's just not true. That's the enemy putting you on a shelf. I love God's response to this. Watch this. You've got Jeremiah throwing his excuse out there. Young people, don't throw your excuse out there. Yeah, but I don't talk well. Yeah, well, you're not, I'm not most popular. Well, you know what? I don't have the last name that they do. You know what? I don't, you know what? Yeah, you know what? You know what? I love the Lord's response. He says, I formed you. I knew you. I consecrated you. I appointed you. And then he says this, do not say that I am a youth. Have you ever had that moment, teenager, or young person, or college student, that you know God's put something on your heart, and you give him an excuse? That's exactly what Jeremiah did. I'm too young for this. I can't talk to people. Could you imagine hearing from God? Do not say that you're a youth. God says, I'm not buying into your excuse. You don't get a pass, Jeremiah. I formed you. I knew you. I consecrated you. I appointed you. I've called you. Don't give me your excuse. This moment, God is saying, listen, Jeremiah, it's time for you to seek me. Time is now, Jeremiah. I'm waiting for you to grow up. It's not like God said, yeah, oh, no, you're right. You're a youth. Let's just wait another 5 years until you really grow up. That is not what God said. He said, listen. The time is now. The time's now, Jeremiah. And I love this. Here it is. He says this, but the Lord said to me, do not say that I'm a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Verse 8, here it is. Do not be afraid of them. Listen, God knows what's in the heart. Jeremiah must have been saying, God, but there's this person and there's that person and they're going to come against me and there's this. And God said, listen, stop. I'm going to give you the words to speak. I'm going to send you to them. And in all of this, no matter who they are, no matter who comes against, God Almighty is saying, don't be afraid of them. Now's the time to seek him. Now's the time to pursue him. Now's the time to go after him. Don't be afraid of the people around you. Don't be afraid of those who are coming against you. This is what God says. Listen, listen. He says, don't be afraid of them. Why can God say that? What is it that gets us to buy into that? He says, don't be afraid of them, for I am with you. Young people, when you know, when you get it, your time isn't later. It's not time to put you on a shelf to serve later. Your purpose isn't later. Your plan isn't later. The plan is now. In your moment and where you're at now, the plan is now for you to come and say, I'm in. Yes, I know that I'm saved. Man, I got saved, but I'm in. I'm pursuing you. The time is now. God, I won't be afraid of them. God, I'll serve you where I'm at. I'll serve you in the moment. I'll give you everything that I got. Because God is saying, listen, 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 no excuse. No excuse. God, but how? Why? But I'm scared. I'm scared to step out. You know how hard it is to step out? God says, listen. He says, I'm with you. He says, I'm with you. I'm with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Oh, the Lord stretched out his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I've appointed you this day. He didn't say, when you grow up, Jeremiah, I'll appoint you. He said, I appointed you this day to be over the nation. Today. You got to believe, man, your time is now. It's not on the shelf for later. The time is now to pursue. The time is now to seek. Church, if we would, as they're standing, you're sitting, wherever you're at, man, if they're your kids or just someone else's kids, put your hand just on their back, please. Just put your hand on the back. If you have to stand up to do it, do it. If it's your child or if there's a group or if the lead youth leaders or just leaders in the church, just fine. Oh. I don't want any teenager standing alone. So look around. If there's someone standing alone, go find them. To pursue him. The time is now to say, I'm useful to you, God. You have a plan for me now, today. But I'm scared, but I'm afraid. I'm with you. I just come out, get it. God is saying, I'm with you in this. I've called you. I've formed you. I know you. I've consecrated you. I've appointed you. Don't be afraid of them. Why? Because I'm with you. Hallelujah. God says, I'm with you. I'm not with you when you get older. I'm with you now. I'm with you today. I'm with you in this moment. And in this moment, I say, follow me. Pursue me. Seek my face. Come on, teenager. Come on, young person. What is your heart saying in this moment? Say, God, my heart will seek your face. You have a plan for me now. And in this moment, I say yes. Father, I ask that you'd cover them. They would bubble over with joy. Holy Spirit, that you would remind them of this moment. And that you would just whisper in their heart, I'm with you. You're not alone. You're not alone. I'm with you now. Not later. Not when you mature. Not when you get on with you now. I'm with you now. Don't be afraid. You're not alone. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Oh, that we would know we're never alone. That you are with us. And you know us. You have a purpose for us now. And we will seek your face. Now. In Jesus' name. Have a seat. Amen. Oh, my. Well, we're really late. Thank you for sticking with us. That's just God. We didn't do that in the first service. That's just the Holy Spirit moving and just, church is going to be increasing in this place. I hope you're ready for it. Not even numerically, but we're talking health-wise. Be a healthy community. We're going to be healthy people. We're going to be healthy before the Lord. And there's going to be great moments to come. Man, just real quick. Tomorrow, Renee and I leave for Dominican Republic. We're going down there to teach through Proverbs. It's just a great open door through SCORE. We're blessed by it. It's a privilege to be able to go. I'm going to miss you next week. We've got Pastor Steve Adel, who's a part of this church, he's here every week. He spoke many times at BC. Just a great man of wisdom. He's one of my counselors personally. I go to him, work through things in my life. And he went to Israel just a month ago, 2 months ago, for the first time. It just took so many pictures. And he was just sharing with me, well, this is the actual cave where David was in the cave when Saul was chasing him down. And this is where Psalm 65 came from. It just when you begin to put a literal place, this is the Garden of Gethsemane. This is where he dropped drips of blood. He's just going through this. And I was just like, oh, yes, like there's that place that this took place, and we read it and we're amazed by it, but then we get to see the grass that he walked on. We get to see where Psalms were written in a cave, and that's the cave. And it was just so intense. I'm like, Pastor, would you share this with the church? Because it's so good. It's so good. And he's willing to be here next Sunday, both services, and there'll be pictures, and just it'll be an amazing tour. But it'll be being such encouraging that you get to see places in scripture with your eyes of where he actually walked, and it's so beautiful. And that's next week, so please be praying for that. Be praying for Renee and I as we go. We're pumped about it. It's just a great opportunity. I hate missing church. I love every week. I love being, I'm bummed I'm going to miss next week. I would love that. I love that history. It's great history. Please invite somebody. You're looking around going, there's not a lot of room, Pastor. Well, we'll figure something out. Invite somebody. Let's fill this place. Pack it out. Today is just a great day. Just a great day. Anyways, amen. Go Steelers. Right? I got it all. Before I took a breath.